It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
Coronavirus infection and death rates surpass SARS. The World Health Organization declares global emergency. How far will it go? The Global Alert Commercial Free News Hour starts now. Dozens of dire-breaking headlines to cover. Stay with us. About the coronavirus situation, however long the current fire is allowed to burn, it is, in so many ways, in the direct control of those in power. Those who control the governments of nations are all colluding and cooperating behind the scenes on countless critical issues, from climate engineering to designer pathogens, their development and their introduction into the population. These same governments are completely aware of the fact that the current paradigm can no longer be maintained. Those at the top levels of power in countries like China are most certainly aware of the increasing impossibility of maintaining their massive populations. Even if the current pandemic is slowed or allowed to be slowed, new spot fire pandemics can and will be ignited anywhere and everywhere the power structure wishes. Its hundreds of global pathogen-producing biolabs ensure this. Just like the level 4 lethal virus biolab in Wuhan, China, which was conducting ongoing research with the coronavirus before this outbreak occurred. And we can speculate on the agendas and objectives and accomplices that are involved with this scenario, but all available data points solidly to this conclusion. The current outbreak was not an act of nature, as those in power would like us to believe. Here's a few new related headlines. Harvard scientists: coronavirus is thermonuclear pandemic. That's his statement. And this: Harvard scientist arrested in case linking him to the Chinese government. The Harvard scientist and nanotechnology expert was paid hundreds of thousands of dollars by the Chinese government to work on research. Nanotechnology, climate engineering, and what I covered in last week's broadcast, a statement from former U.S. government scientist Ken Caldera, currently employed by Stanford University, formerly employed by the U.S. government Department of Defense installation Lawrence Livermore Laboratories, who stated one of his jobs for the U.S. government was to, quote, determine ways of seeding clouds with pathogens to infect populations below, end quote. Dr. Caldera is now the second most recognized scientist in the climate engineering world. Nanoparticulates are the primary element utilized by climate engineering atmospheric spraying operations. Any element in nanoparticulate form that rains down through the atmosphere and is inhaled by populations is highly toxic in and of itself. This includes the primary climate engineering elements of aluminum, barium, strontium, polymers, and more. But it's worse than that. These atmospheric particulates provide platforms for the proliferation of harmful organisms like fungus, bacteria, and potentially viruses. How many know that the DNA collection agency, 23andMe, is connected to Google, which in turn is connected to the U.S. government, to the Department of Defense, and to other governments? And what did Stanford scientists have to do with DNA collection in China? How essential is having a DNA database in regard to designer pathogens? Would the Chinese government itself, again, be interested in such a designer pathogen in order to cull and control its massive and increasingly unsustainable population? So many questions that need to be asked and, more importantly, answered. Though the horizon is growing dimmer by the day, there is still time to shine some light into the darkness, but such an effort will take all of us. From lethal pathogens to weather warfare to crop collapse, ocean die-off, and increasingly desperate and dangerous power structures, converging catastrophes are closing in from every imaginable direction. If we collectively remain on the current course, the conclusion of the current paradigm will soon be upon us. The planet's life support systems, like the branch of a tree, can hold only so much weight before it breaks. Such a moment is already unfolding at blinding speed. And yet, even now, how few clearly see what's coming. Consider this quote from former U.S. presidential advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski, who advised all presidents from President Johnson in the 60s to Trump. Brzezinski died in 2017, but in 1970, he said this, "I foresee a time when we shall have the means and therefore inevitably the temptation to manipulate the behavior and intellectual functioning of all the people through environmental and biochemical manipulation of the brain." And let's take a moment to remember Brzezinski's quote that I covered in last week's broadcast, that there would come a time when it would be much easier for governments to kill a million people than to control them. I want to thank Activist Salient Issues for bringing the earlier Brzezinski quote to my attention. Here's a question. Was Brzezinski foretelling the future or making a simple statement of fact based on the long-since-proven bioweapon capability of those in power? The 1918 Spanish flu being an example of that for those who choose to research that issue. But back to today, back to China, from businessinsider.com, this. A coalition backed by Bill Gates is funding biotechs that are scrambling to develop vaccines for the deadly Wuhan coronavirus. Again, nearly 60 million people in quarantine in China. Increasing numbers of people in quarantine around the world. Question, who will oversee the vaccine development? This headline, several biotechs are working on vaccines. From that report, the Food and Drug Administration reviews drugs for safety and efficacy, typically requiring companies to run multiple trials in humans that show a treatment works. Who oversees all of that? Just the FDA and the vaccine makers. Nothing independent. They literally are tasked with policing themselves. And how well has that gone? Let's look at some statistics. A 40,000% increase in autism in boys since the mid-1970s, just after the time when Brzezinski made his quote. A 40,000% increase from 1 in 10,000 in the case of boys in 1975, to 1 in 25 today, and those that are not diagnosed with autism are still not at the cognitive level they would have been had they not been vaccinated. Vaccines contain harmful elements, neurotoxins. It must do damage. It is doing damage. And when will the public face these very simple facts? When you inject elements like mercury and aluminum into the human body, it does damage. Very simple premise. And look at the quotes from the kind of so-called leaders or presidential advisors like Brzezinski. These people are, for lack of a better term, evil. Are we expected to believe that yet another toxic, neurologically damaging vaccine will save us all from a pathogen that was engineered by the same power structure that engineered and released the coronavirus in the first place? We're expected to trust these institutions, the pharmaceutical industrial complex and so-called consumer protection agencies from the U.S. government that are simply designed to hide threats from the population, not to disclose them. Institutions, in the case of the pharmaceutical industrial complex, that have been given total blanket legal immunity from the U.S. government for any injury and death they cause. And we're supposed to trust these entities? What sane person would? And not surprisingly, the power structure is using the coronavirus pandemic and information relating to it in the attempt to demonize those who have absolutely legitimate concerns about toxic vaccinations. From BuzzFeed, this example of the official, quote, debunking efforts. Here's the headline. Anti-vaxxers, anybody who's concerned legitimately about the dangers of vaccines, are spreading a hoax that Bill Gates created the coronavirus. Haven't seen that exact quote from any who are concerned about vaccinations, although Mr. Gates is clearly involved with the vaccination debacle. Let's look at his results from the vaccinating children programs he is behind in Africa. Here's a statistic to consider. I've repeated this on many broadcasts. African children that are vaccinated are 500% more likely to die in the first 5 months than the unvaccinated children. Think about that one for a while. Here's more from the report from BuzzFeed. A false rumor that the coronavirus outbreak is a plot by former Microsoft CEO Bill Gates is being spread by supporters of the pro-Trump QAnon movement and the anti-vax community. All of these types of headlines are designed to infuriate some part of the political spectrum and to pit everyone against each other. We really have opposite ends of some of the spectrum here being outlined, but trying to pit them against each other, divide and conquer, always the base formula for those in power. Another headline along the same theme, coronavirus patent granted to Bill Gates-funded institute in 2018. Something to consider at minimum, yes. This gives more credence to the theory it might be bioweapon. Again, Gates just a puppet in the play, like the occupants of the White House. Those who are really orchestrating the play are behind the curtain. But consider that people like Gates are ultimately like occupants of the White House, dangling from the strings of those behind the curtain. More headline reports to consider about what's unfolding with the global pandemic. From multiple sources, this: health experts issued an ominous warning about a coronavirus pandemic 3 months ago. Their simulation showed it could kill 65 million people. This is interesting at minimum, is it not? How many times are such catastrophes predicted beforehand? But in fact, is it a prediction or a warning? Question: why aren't more experts, so-called experts, sounding the alarm? From the medical industrial complex to the climate science community, the vast majority of academia must, at this point, be considered to be in one or more of these three categories: delusional, denialist, or willing tools of the bought and paid for power structure deception. How can we consider it otherwise? And no matter what the risk to those in these fields, their continued silence is at this point betrayal, not just of the human population, but indeed to the entire web of life that will not exist much longer if we remain on the current course. Dozens of breaking headline reports in a moment, but first, to each and every individual that is doing their best to stay informed, to wake others, and to help turn the tide, thank you. You have my deepest and most sincere gratitude. It is our collective efforts that can yet make a difference. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 234, February 1st, 2020. In this broadcast, news that covers the issues we must face if we're to have any chance of changing course. This commercial-free frontline news broadcast is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7 AM, Sunday mornings, same time slot, repeat broadcast. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. Also, East Coast, 2 p.m. Wednesdays on the PRN radio network. This broadcast is aired along with a number of other stations in the country. We encourage those stations to utilize this broadcast. They can do so free of charge. We only ask that they help us to sound the alarm. The latest and most effective geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. And again, printed, compelling printed materials are exponentially more effective at waking those that are as of yet unaware of this issue than anything you can convey verbally. As the proverb goes, a picture is worth a thousand words. Help us to sow the seeds of awareness. Another way to help us sound the alarm is to attend Jim Fair events, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. Jim Fair has been and continues to be an extremely dedicated ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. Visit the geoengineeringwatch.org informational booths at all Jim Fair events. Get free geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials. Help us in the critical effort to wake the masses. This week's Jim Fair event is at Roseville, California, started yesterday, ends tomorrow, at the grounds/Jones Hall. On to headlines. About the tragic Kobe Bryant crash, my most sincere sympathy to the families and friends of the victims. This being said, is the extraordinary global coverage of this event for hours on end from the moment it happened reasonable? Given the state of the world and given the amount of human die-off that is occurring on a daily basis all over the world, even Chinese mainstream media immediately halted all coverage of the engineered coronavirus catastrophe that has caused 50 million of its citizens to be quarantined and has sickened and killed untold numbers of its population. The Chinese news halted all coverage of that to give extensive coverage to the Kobe Bryant crash. Again, I absolutely sympathize with the family, friends, and fans of Kobe Bryant. But are the countless innocent civilians killed in constant U.S. drone strikes, for example, somehow less important than celebrities? How much coverage do we see of that? Here's a headline example. Quote, the wedding that became a funeral. U.S. still silent 1 year on from deadly Yemen drone strike. And though this headline is not new, the point is clear. Innocents in faraway countries are, we are led to believe, expendable. Innocents that are killed is a consequence of the empire's quest for its lifeblood, oil. Tens of thousands of innocents slaughtered in Yemen by American manufactured weapons being utilized by the brutal Saudi dictatorship that the U.S. calls its beloved ally. Why? Does this question even need to be answered? The Saudis and other brutal dictators are treated as friends and allies because they have the oil the U.S. empire needs. That dot's not hard to connect. Let's move on to more headlines. The first two sample headlines of environmental collapse, two of hundreds. Ocean acidification is literally dissolving the shells of crabs and the skins of sharks. And that ocean acidification, by the way, directly linked to the amount of carbon that's been pumped into the atmosphere by the burning of billions of tons of oil. And now the incinerating forests adding even more carbon to the atmosphere. Ocean is absorbing this. And those who think carbon is wonderful, the more the better, tell that to the crabs and the sharks and every other ocean creature that is dying for many reasons, but the ocean acidification is very high on that list. Another headline, locust swarms descend on Africa. Sounds a bit biblical, doesn't it? As the ecosystem is tilted horrifically out of balance, there are countless catastrophes that will come with it. Another headline, fungal shrapnel in the air. What's that mean? It means that what I described earlier in this broadcast, the amount of particulate loading in the atmosphere that is providing platforms for the proliferation of harmful elements. Funguses are one of those elements, and we don't know, we can't know in any given circumstance what other elements may be connected with these nanoparticulates that are being sprayed into the atmosphere by the climate engineering operations. And I don't mean to imply that it's just climate engineering. It's not. What's going on in our skies is the carrying out of many agendas, and I would argue that the degrading of human health, the degrading of human cognitive ability, the ability of the population to think clearly, suits the power structure extraordinarily well, as do the countless distractions that they are always in one form or another involved with. Certainly the epitome of that example is the ongoing impeachment theater of the absurd. For the record, designer human pathogens are only one form of biowarfare. Crop-destroying pathogens are another. There are so many layers to the insanity that's closing in on us all. Let me go through a quick succession of headlines. There's so much to cover in this broadcast. There's so much unfolding in the world. And the exponential nature, I can't stress this enough, of everything that's unfolding, including the biosphere collapse, and more on that later in this broadcast, is an extraordinarily non-linear equation. We've been trained to look backward at charts and to think somehow a previous rate of progression applies into the future, and that is not reality. Everything is going exponential. More headlines on various subjects that we now face, and all of it, in one form or another, related to biosphere collapse. First headline, President to slash Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security benefits. Second headline, UK retailers have cut 10,000 jobs already this year. Another headline, 3M slashes 1,500 jobs in global restructuring. Another headline, JP Morgan plans to cut hundreds of jobs in consumer unit. Another headline, BBC to axe 450 newsroom jobs in cost-cutting drive. That's because all mainstream media, again, they are all repiping the same power structure information and propaganda. So they don't need reporters. Not that any reporters were really doing their job in recent decades anyway. Very few. To those that are, I salute you, but very few are. Another headline, Lyft, it's a corporation, announces layoffs in corporate restructuring effort. Another headline, Canadian lender CIBC flags layoffs as it battles challenging environment. Another headline, back to the Defense Department, which is what the U.S. economy is largely based on, deployment of new U.S. nuclear warhead on submarine, a dangerous step, critics say. Think of the twistedness of countries around the globe, and the largest of all being ours, with a military bigger than the next 10 militaries combined. While the planet's life support systems are imploding by the day, our focus is on building more weapons of mass destruction and deploying those weapons in a very, very provocative manner all over the globe. Let's remember, it's U.S. military bases that are on everybody else's border all over the globe. Hundreds and hundreds of these bases. It's not theirs on ours. It's ours on theirs. Another headline on that same theme. U.S. expands troop and fighter jet presence at Saudi base. No surprise there. Brutal dictators are fine with the U.S. government so long as they serve the U.S. government agenda. Let's remember that. Another headline, Iraq and Syria oppose the president's Middle East, quote, peace plan, which is creating further tensions where U.S. troops are deployed. That's going to increase radically. Most of the world has had enough of the U.S. empire wreaking havoc around the globe. And again, I am not condoning other countries or other militaries. But what I'm saying is, which country and which military is creating the most chaos in its quest for resources all over the globe? I'm simply stating a fact. I know it's an unpleasant fact, especially for Americans who don't want to believe that fact and who want to cling to the power-structured, programmed mantra of love your country or leave it. And what a mindless statement that is, isn't it? That we're not allowed to criticize our country, and what other countries are we now not allowed to criticize? I think most of you know the answer to that question. Which country is the tail wagging the dog? Over and over, I will continue to bring this up because people need to connect the dots. We must get past ideology, preconception, and bias. And however unpleasant the red pill is to swallow, we must swallow it, assimilate it, and act accordingly if we're to have any chance of surviving even the near-term horizon. Another headline, U.S. military not withdrawing from AFRICOM. No surprise. Those in the military-industrial complex who control the U.S. military intend to expand and acquire resources, not leave them behind. Another headline, revealed, the president's deal of the century map for future Palestine and Israel. Let's follow that headline with this headline. President's, quote, deal of the century won't bring peace. That was the plan. That's the headline. That's not my words. That's part of the headline. Another headline on the same theme. Trump gives away the store and Israel will now officially become an apartheid state. Already has been the case. Again, encourage people to research the protocols, search online and view peace propaganda and the promised land, and search the history of the USS Liberty, U.S. naval vessel bombed to bits by Israel. And how many Americans even know about that? And where is Israel's defense budget coming from? The U.S. taxpayer. Seems a little ironic, isn't it, that the U.S. population is paying a foreign country to bomb our own military ships and kill our own soldiers? Again, I'm not asking anyone to believe me. I'm simply asking you to investigate that issue, the USS Liberty. Another headline, Trump threatens to veto House bills opposing Iran war. Let's dissect that headline just a bit. And the Democrats that are generally behind this bill never intend for this bill to go through. It's all theater. One side of the aisle making or carrying out maneuvers to give the impression to its base that they are somehow carrying out their bidding when the whole thing is a facade. And it's all run by the military-industrial complex. All of it theater. And of course, the military-industrial complex is going to do what they are designed to do, to carry out carnage in other countries, and then to access the resources in those countries so they can continue that carnage all over the globe. It's not just our military. Other militaries, if they were the same size and strength, would be doing exactly the same thing. It's human nature, but it's up to us, the population, to bring it to a halt. Another headline, Department of Defense buying up American food supplies. Why are they doing that? Because they don't care about the population. They care about their own machine of mass destruction. It's a mercenary force at this point. And I'm sorry for those who don't like to accept that. That's what the data makes clear. A mercenary force to carry out the bidding of the empire. That's what it's about. It's not about freedom. It's not about democracy. Again, not condoning any other country, but I'm simply saying, how are we to tell any other country to take the splinter out of their eye when we have the proverbial log in our own? And all the while, the impeachment theater of absurdity and mass distraction continues to distract and divide the U.S. population, exactly as the power structure planned. When will the U.S. population see through the left-right, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, false paradigm, all designed and perpetuated by those in power? Occupants of the White House, again, on both political sides of the aisle, all the way back to Kennedy, are military-industrial complex power structure puppets, nothing more. Another headline, the fight for Venezuela's oil is heating up. Another headline, G20 funds oil industry, $30 billion a year, under the radar. New analysis proves. That shouldn't be a surprise, should it? Rich nations are funneling cash through government-backed financial institutions to provide $30 billion to oil drilling projects each year that run counter to the Paris Agreement, a new analysis showed Thursday. We stated this at geoengineeringwatch.org that all the climate conferences are complete facades designed to perpetuate the existing paradigm and to force other countries around the globe to either actively or passively participate in the climate engineering insanity, which is much more than climate engineering. There's no benevolence in so-called climate engineering. Climate engineering is weather warfare and biological warfare, nothing less. But the conferences are a facade, and how many are caught up in those facades? Exactly as the power structure wants, thinking that there's some actual legitimate attempt to curb the destruction of our planet. Couldn't be further from the truth. It's only a facade to try to pacify populations into thinking that someone somewhere is doing something. It couldn't be further from the truth. And all the while, the effort behind the curtain is to carry on business as usual, to grind up what nature is left until nothing is left, and we all perish with the planet at that point. And that is the course we are on. Another headline, rapid weather swings increase flu risk. Let's tie this into the whole picture that we've outlined so far. New research from a team of Florida State University scientists shows that rapid weather variability as a result of climate change, let's not forget climate engineering, I'll go over that in a moment, could increase the risk of a flu epidemic in some highly populated regions in the late 21st century. Let's stop there for a moment. First, we're not going to reach the late 21st century on the current course. That is a mathematical and statistical inarguable certainty. We will not make it through the next decade and likely much, much less than that on the current course. So all these types of reports are simply Pollyanna, pacify the population propaganda. That's what they are. The report continues. The research was published in the Journal of Environmental Research Letters. The issue going forward, scientists noted, is that the rapid weather variability is common in warming climates. The weather whiplash is most directly a result of climate engineering, period. Search the engineering winter section at geoengineeringwatch.org. Engineering droughts, engineering wildfires. Get more in-depth data. But the bottom line is, the weather whiplash scenarios are absolutely most directly connected to the ongoing climate engineering operations, and that is not to deny all the other forms of human damage to the planet. Not at all. I have to stress that over and over because I am commonly misinterpreted. What I'm saying is there can be no legitimate discussion about the climate or the state of the climate without first and foremost discussing the climate engineering issue, and this is important, there's no legitimate discussion about climate engineering without first and foremost acknowledging the engineering winter scenarios. Again, please look up that whole category on the top of the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. So, back to this headline, rapid weather swings increase flu risk. It's the particulates in the atmosphere that are wreaking havoc on human respiratory systems and all the elements that adhere to those particulates. And none of that is acknowledged by academia. Again, academia that continues to betray the human race and the entire web of life. So consider that when every breath we take is laden with these toxic nanoparticulates that are not only platforms for the proliferation of toxic elements in the air like funguses that infect our respiratory systems, make us vulnerable to anything and everything, every form of pathogen that comes along, we don't know, we can't know in any given circumstance what elements there may be included in these atmospheric dispersions. biological testing, biological warfare, and that is business as usual, not just for the U.S. government, but for other governments, all of whom are colluding and cooperating at the highest levels on many issues. Climate engineering is the single greatest causal factor behind the rapidly intensifying weather whiplash scenarios. And again, the epidemic respiratory issues from the toxic particulate fallout. But back to scenarios like Denver, Colorado, which is expected to, in a few days, go from, I believe from Sunday to Monday, they're expected to have a high of 70 degrees and then plummeting to 13 degrees on Monday. That's at least a forecast as of yesterday. And let's go back about 2 months when Denver, Colorado had an all-time record high of 85 degrees and they plummeted to 12 degrees in 15 hours. Unimaginable weather whiplash. Let's look at Amarillo, Texas, May 1st, 2013. 100 degree all-time high, snowed the next day. These scenarios are only possible with massive climate engineering operations and seeding cloud moisture with endothermic, that's an energy absorbing element that is causing chemical ice nucleation for the purposes of weather modification. Creates a cold, dense layer of air that sinks to the surface, can be only a few hundred feet thick at times. We have the paid deception actors at the Weather Channel trying to explain this all away, trying to cover the tracks of the climate engineers. But this is how these weather whiplash scenarios are achieved. This is not nature in any way, shape, or form, any more than the very anomalous new virus that's circling the globe. Not nature. More on the same subject of the engineered weather scenarios. This headline, explosive bomb cyclone. We didn't hear that term beyond about 10 years ago. Now it's every week, all the time. Ionosphere heaters like HARP, installations that with microwave radio frequency transmissions can heat layers of the atmosphere like the ionosphere to extraordinarily high temperatures, can create these pressure zones that then in turn create wind. So this headline, explosive bomb cyclone engulfs Alaska with hurricane force winds, major swell, and intense snowstorm. The headline continues, or the report continues, this winter rapidly intensifying cyclones are forming over and over again in the northern Pacific. It's part of the attempt to keep portions of the U.S. cool down on a rapidly warming world. The high pressure zones over the west that spin clockwise and spin the moisture around California, and California is again being dried out. The West is again being dried out. I would argue they're going to again likely set the template for another Western U.S. burn down along with other parts of the Northern Hemisphere as we go into the coming months. That is one method the climate engineers can create a sort of volcano effect to load the atmosphere with enough sun-blocking particulates to block the sun temporarily, especially over the polar regions, which is where many of these particulates spin to because of the Earth's spinning Coriolis effect. This is engineering a volcano, if you will, by incinerating forests. And there is peer-reviewed science study that speaks of this exact scenario and the, quote, benefit of this. What sort of insane scientist could think it's a benefit to the planet to incinerate forests that are never coming back in any time frame that matters, to provide temporary cooling, to mask the true extent of climate meltdown and climate collapse from the population for a very temporary time at the cost of ensuring none of us gets out of this alive? And in regard to the epic and unprecedented forest burn downs occurring all over the globe and the relationship to climate engineering, I am not trying to insinuate that climate engineering has anything to do with the ignition source of these fires. What GeoengineeringWatch.org is stating and has always stated, that climate engineering absolutely, positively has laid the template for the fires to burn with such ferocity, cutting off the precipitation, the toxification of soils and waters, killing trees from the roots up, destruction of the ozone layer, which is killing trees from the top down, coating of forest foliage and forest floors with an incendiary dust, more dry lightning created from the ionized atmosphere, from the electrical conductivity of the sprayed geoengineering particulates. Again, climate engineering must be considered the core causal factor for establishing the conditions that have allowed the fires to burn with such ferocity. The sources of ignition is another subject entirely. We need to keep those two subjects separate. Moving on to more headlines on the threats that populations around the globe now face. And for those who continue to falsely believe that technology will save us from it all, again, I ask this, How much has technology done for us so far? In the geologic blink of an eye, it has pushed us to the brink of near certain global omnicide. New headline from the Wall Street Journal. Quote, cities are saying no to 5G, citing health, aesthetics, and Federal Communication Commission bullying. It's about time that some of the people sitting in these city commissions and the city government find their courage, stand up, and do the right thing while we can still make a difference. On the subject of the exposure to radio frequency microwave transmissions, it's imperative to remember and consider that the most powerful source of these transmissions are related to weather and climate modification. And this is being overlooked by too many that are fighting the 5G. And I'm grateful that they are fighting the 5G, but they need to incorporate the fact that climate engineering operations have massively powerful transmission sources all over the globe. The transmissions are used to manipulate the air masses that are saturated with electrically conductive particles, and all of us on the ground are exposed to these transmissions. So that is yet another threat that needs to be wrapped into this equation. The climate engineering operations and the radio frequency microwave transmissions that they utilize. But in regard to the weather and the conditions on our planet, the planetary asylum, and as I've referred to in the past, it feels like every day is Groundhog Day in the asylum. The actual Groundhog Day is tomorrow. And how much hype will the power structure-controlled media sources of mass distraction put into that event? And all the while, not uttering so much as a word about the glaringly obvious climate engineering operations going on over our heads on a constant basis. Again, the long-term schedule weather for the U.S. indicates that the climate engineers are planning to dry out the U.S. West, a potential preparation for the U.S. West to, as I stated yet again, incinerate. Search the engineering wildfire sections on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn more about that scenario. Protracted drought and lack of pasture and grass growth continues to kill livestock in Africa. And this follows years of devastating wildfires in that continent. And how are things growing in general? In countless parts of the world, not so well at all. Here's a Northern California example. Grasses and winter plants that once sprouted and grew well when the fall rains first began are now horribly stunted or not at all. Many low-elevation winter pastures that a decade ago supported larger herds of cattle can now be seen with stacks of hay being regularly restocked because the grasses are barely growing compared to a decade past. Should this be any surprise? Any at all? Soils are being systematically sterilized from lab-test-proven toxic rain, thanks to the climate engineering fallout. When the sun is not being blotted out from the ongoing climate engineering operations, the extremely intense UV radiation is frying grasses and foliage. The burning sensation from direct, unobstructed sunlight can be felt in the middle of winter. This is due to the collapsing ozone layer. Climate engineering operations are at the core of ozone layer collapse. I'm not discounting other causes. I'm not discounting other forms of anthropogenic pollution or damage to the planet. But I'm stating that mathematically speaking, climate engineering operations, for multiple reasons, from the microwaving of the atmosphere to the spray dispersions of ozone-damaging particulates in the atmosphere, climate engineering, the largest core causal factor of ozone layer collapse, which, for the record, is by itself an extinction-level event. No ozone layer, no life on Earth, no terrestrial life. The majority of Earth's insect populations have already succumbed to the factors already mentioned. And now let's add the ongoing rapidly increasing, as I stated, radio frequency microwave radiation bombardment, countless chemicals that are constantly being pumped in the environment from countless sources, industrial pollution. We're all now swimming in a toxic sea while simultaneously being bombarded with the microwave radiation, UV radiation, ionizing radiation. Here's a question. How long does any rational individual think we, the human race, are going to be able to survive with biosphere collapse accelerating by the day? What exactly does biosphere collapse mean? Because I use that term a lot. What does it entail? What are the ramifications? Stay with me. Stay tuned. I'll get to that shortly. A few more headlines first. From the Watchers.news, major floods and landslides leave at least 57 people dead after heaviest rains since record-keeping began in Brazil. We don't hear about any of this, do we, when we get eclipsed with all-day-long every single mainstream station coverage of specific people who unfortunately can die, like the recent celebrity that died, which again, my condolences to the friends and family. But what about all the other people dying all over the globe? Don't they matter? Especially when it involves weather cataclysms that most certainly the U.S. military, U.S. military industrial complex is involved with. Tens of thousands have had to evacuate. This is in Brazil. Other headline from the Watchers.news also. Madagascar declares national emergency as massive floods claim 31 lives and inundate more than 10,000 homes. We don't hear anything about this in the U.S. From the U.K. Guardian and other sources, this headline. If you love Australia, climate change should, quote, scare the hell out of you. No mention of climate engineering. Toxifying every breath we take, not a word. From the UK Guardian and other sources, this headline, heat wave brings dangerous fire conditions to bushfire ravaged Australia. It's happening there again. State of emergency declared in the capital city. This is ongoing, and it's not going to abate as long as climate engineering is a part of the equation, a core part of the equation. This report states 4 days of hot weather forecast for New South Wales, Victoria, and South Australia as warnings issued for bushfires, that's forest fires, near Perth and Tasmania. For the record, historically, wildfires were almost unheard of in Tasmania. Now it's a constant scenario. From phys.org, another headline on Australia. The Australian heat wave is expected to hit Melbourne and Canberra later Friday before parts of Sydney reach 45 degrees Celsius at the weekend. Those are extraordinarily hot temperatures in the one teens. Report continues. Authorities say the searing heat accompanied by dry winds would bring severe bushfire conditions to parts of New South Wales and Victoria, where more than 80 fires are still burning across the two states. This is, again, this is not weather predictions. These are simply reports of the scheduled weather. Report continues. Storms are forecast to follow the heat wave, bringing rain that could help dampen fires, but also the potential for wild weather, including flash flooding. Let me continue with this. Extreme weather has battered parts of Australia in recent weeks, bringing giant hail, floods, and landslides. This is weather warfare, nothing less. And I'm not saying there wouldn't be weather cataclysm without climate engineering. I am not stating that. But I'm simply stating, once you interfere with the climate system at any level, you interfere with the entire system. So what then happens when the entire global climate system is being manipulated by the climate engineering, aka weather warfare insanity? That means there is no natural weather left, period. That means every single climate cataclysm must be considered in one form or another, to some degree or another, a result, a direct result of climate engineering operations. The report continues, scientists say the bushfire disaster, that's a forest fire, was exacerbated by climate change, coming on the back of crippling drought that turned forests into a tinderbox. I went over that earlier in this broadcast. Total disruption of the hydrological cycle from climate engineering particulates. And allowed blazes to spread out of control quickly. Again, as I stated earlier in the broadcast, aside from the source of ignition, which we can debate in any given circumstance, what has set the template for these fires to burn in such an unprecedented manner? And that must be considered climate engineering at the core of that equation. The months-long crisis has sparked renewed calls for Australia's conservative government to take immediate action on climate change, with street protests urging Morrison to reduce the country's reliance on coal. Look up. We need the Australians to look up and connect the dots as soon as possible. Stopping climate engineering is the single greatest leap we could take in the right direction, and I'm not downplaying all the other forms of human damage again. Australia has been a very poor steward of the planet, as have all first-world industrialized nations. But the bottom line is, the single greatest interference in Earth's natural processes at this moment is climate engineering. Single greatest threat we collectively face, short of nuclear cataclysm, is climate engineering for a long, long list of reasons, including the fact that it's toxifying every breath we take and used as a platform for biological experimentation and warfare on populations around the globe. Australia is yet another falling domino in regard to the world that once was. The speed of falling dominoes will increase rapidly, as will the scope and scale of the events. The unfolding coronavirus pandemic in China, very likely a result of biowarfare, is yet another domino of unimaginable proportion. Each domino that falls knocks over another exponentially larger domino, and so on. Moving on, more headlines. Temperatures at Florida-sized glacier in Antarctica alarm scientists. From that report, scientists in Antarctica have recorded for the first time unusually warm water beneath a glacier the size of Florida that is already melting and contributing to sea level rise, the Thwaites Glacier. Why is this news so dire? Because the Thwaites Glacier acts as a break on part of the much larger West Antarctic ice sheet. From Newsweek and other sources, 200 years since Antarctica was discovered, the continent faces irreversible glacial melting. From the report on January 27, 1820, Fabian Bellinghausen and his crew became the first known people to lay eyes on mainland Antarctica. Today, on the 200th anniversary, this is last week, of its discovery, glaciologists say that the continent is approaching a tipping point. Not approaching, it is past the tipping point. This is what I've tried to bring to light in so many broadcasts and so many disseminations, that so much of the heat that human activity has generated, the heat equivalent of 4 to 5 Hiroshima bombs per second, 400,000 per day, that heat has gone into the oceans. That heat is now doing irreparable damage to Earth's ice deposits, which are the air conditioner to the planet. We are in a runaway climate collapse right now. And on that note, earlier in this broadcast, I referred to the term biosphere collapse. It's a term I use often as it encompasses the spectrum of Earth's changes that are unfolding at blinding speed. A very treasured and trusted friend pointed out to me that this term may not be clear to most. I couldn't argue her point, so let me try to explain further. Biosphere collapse, what exactly does that mean? It means that the vast and incomprehensibly complex life support systems on our once thriving planet are breaking down and failing. The once protective layers of the atmosphere, like the ozone layer, have been and continue to be damaged and degraded, allowing increasingly dangerous UV radiation to bombard Earth's surface. If the ozone layer completely collapses, which current calculations indicate will occur within the next decade, if not sooner, if the rate of damage continues, terrestrial life on Earth will perish. Climate engineering is the single greatest causal factor regarding ozone destruction. Biosphere collapse means that Earth's life-giving precipitation and soils are failing. Biosphere collapse means that our rain contains countless toxins that are killing microbial life in our waters and soils. This process not only has a sterilizing effect for beneficial organisms, it allows non-beneficial species like harmful fungus, as I stated earlier in this broadcast, to proliferate. No crops, no fish, no people. Biosphere collapse means the planet's systems of cloud and weather formation are failing. Earth's forests are incinerating at blinding speed. Forests that have not yet burned are dying by the day. There are countless causal factors. I recognize that. We acknowledge that at geoengineeringwatch.org. But those already mentioned related to climate engineering are core to the equation. Forests are a core part of Earth's cloud-producing systems. Clouds, in turn, make rain. Many believe that forests grow where the rain falls, but in so many ways, rain falls where the forests grow. Biosphere collapse means the primary pillar to life on Earth. Plankton populations are failing. Global plankton populations have already declined over 60%. Plankton populations are failing. Global plankton populations have already declined over 60%. Plankton is the foundation of the ocean food chain. As plankton populations collapse, the ocean food chain will follow, and such is the case. Plankton also produce clouds by producing substances which convert to dimethyl sulfide, or DMS. And this substance is introduced into the atmosphere by sea spray from churning oceans. In turn, DMS helps to produce cloud condensation nuclei, which in turn produces clouds. These are only a few of the countless factors directly connected to the rapidly unfolding biosphere collapse. But here's the bottom line summary of the term. If the soils and waters of the planet no longer produce food, we die. If the ozone layer collapses, we die. If the trees die, we die. If the oceans die, we die. If Earth's climate and weather systems cease to function, we die. All of it is unfolding at once, i.e., biosphere collapse. And what core factor to this entire equation is being systematically denied by all official and completely criminal agencies? climate engineering. The whole of the bought and sold ranks of so-called academia also denying the global climate engineering weather warfare assault. If we, the population of the planet, have any interest in extending even our short-term survival on this once thriving planet, the climate engineering insanity must be exposed and halted. If we can accomplish that, we can then face the other long list of challenges that have been created by industrialized, militarized activity. All those that are either actively or passively involved with the weather warfare assault, or involved with hiding it, must be held legally and morally accountable by a justifiably enraged population. But before this can happen, populations must be awakened. Populations must summon the courage to investigate verifiable facts. Populations must stop looking down and start looking up. A few more headlines of disinformation and betrayal from academia. From the Union of Concerned Scientists, a statement of, quote, climate disinformation, while they themselves are active participants in the climate engineering cover-up. Here's the report from the Union of Concerned Scientists website, quote, climate disinformation. They stated this, misleading information on global warming can usually be traced directly to special interests. To the Union of Concerned Scientists, I ask this, when will you tell the truth? When will you acknowledge climate engineering? And let's look at Scientific American, who just published this report that they would like you to believe is based on science, which it is not. Here's the headline report. The worst climate scenarios may no longer be most likely. The report states, the most extreme visions of the future outlined in climate studies over the years probably won't come to pass, they state. The Scientific American report provide any tangible frontline facts to back up their assertions or their pacifications that everything will probably work out just fine? Short answer, no. No facts, no acknowledgement of the already unfolding climate collapse cataclysms occurring with rapidly increasing intensity all over the world, and no consideration whatsoever of the dozens of climate collapse feedback loops that are forcing biosphere implosion into an exponential scenario right now. All of it being further fueled by the global climate engineering insanity, which of course is also not mentioned. And why should we be reassured by the Scientific American report? Because author Chelsea Harvey says so. Institutions like Scientific American are now nothing more than bought and sold power structure tools for climate engineering cover-up. Institutions that are used to pacify populations while converging catastrophes continue to close in on us all. So again, I'll state this. Biosphere collapse will continue to fuel power structure desperation. From biological warfare against populations to other more overt forms of warfare, much of that in the pursuit of Earth's remaining natural resources. I'm almost out of time with this broadcast, but I want to ask this. What, in fact, is the military-industrial complex all about? Not just in our country, but in any country, in every country. Such a question is not hard to answer if any objective investigation is carried out. Power and control is always the bottom line. The term, quote, defense industry or, quote, defense force is almost always a false label for what is in actuality an offensive mercenary force that is tasked with securing resources and thus more power for those who already wield power. What happens when factors like climate collapse, biosphere collapse, and overpopulation threaten those in power? Total desperation, including weather and biological warfare. And even now, so many still have their eyes wide shut, which allows those in power to continue tightening the noose around our collective necks with total impunity. Tony A. Gaskins Jr. said this, "You can give a person knowledge, but you can't make them think. Some people want to remain fools only because the truth requires change." My thanks again to Gotacombe, an activist who brought that quote to my attention. We cannot, we must not allow ourselves to be paralyzed by the fear of the darkening horizon. We can, we must, summon the courage to stand against the fading of the light. Each of us can and must do all we can, given our personal circumstances, to help in the critical effort to sound the alarm. Search the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Arm yourself with credible data from a credible source. Make your voice heard. Make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.